Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The pitch. Walker lines it. It goes down the left field line. One run's going to score. Hanson's going to score. That's a Red Bird winner. A walk-off. Light it up. Light it up.
Wow, what a finish yesterday at Busch Stadium. Exciting stuff. We're joined now by Tom Ackerman at the sports desk. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Scott. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing okay. That game was fun at the end anyway. First eight innings, not so much.
Yeah, it's a great, well, you know, it's all about how you finish, and the Cardinals got the win 3-2, and Jordan Walker with the walk-off, and you could just see the celebration. The dugout exploded. They surrounded him. They love him, and they know he's been through a lot of stuff. You know, he just hasn't been able to find it this year. Offensively, it's been a struggle. A lot of what he dealt with last year carried over, and they worked with him in the offseason, hiring a new hitting coach, Brant Brown. Now, Brown came on the Gashouse gang, and it made a lot of headlines, and a lot of people played the sound bites back and talked about it, and I'm sure it got back to Jordan that it was out there publicly that his hitting coach, and his manager for that matter, questioned his preparation and questioned his, you know, aptitude for getting everything and still learning. I mean, they still support him and were behind him, but there was a lot out there that he needed to be better at everything that he does. And I think that everybody loves Jordan Walker as a person, but I think it's fair to expect a lot more out of somebody who's developing into a big league hitter. So they decided, and you know, it's not like this hasn't happened before. Whitey Herzog used to do it. He would talk about his players in a public setting and give them a little push. And they did that over this last week to Jordan Walker. So you could see the release of emotion from him when he delivered that hit against the Giants. You could see, again, his teammates supporting him, and it was a big moment for Jordan as the Cardinals basically jumped on a closer who didn't have it, and they put base runner after base runner on, bases loaded, nobody out, and they broke the game open, and they won the game 3-2, scored all of their runs in the bottom of the ninth. So they'll play the Giants today at 1:15, and a great Hall of Fame and 85 reunion weekend. You know, the Cardinals have had some struggles this year putting people in the seats. The Cardinals have had some struggles over the last several years getting a team moving towards the postseason. The one thing they always get right, always, is Hall of Fame weekend. They never miss. And yesterday, to see all of those players in the red jackets lined up behind Al Roboski and Edgar Renteria and Joey Jocketty, the son of Walt Jocketty, the longtime GM who passed away earlier this year, was very special. And for the Cardinals to be able to come through on that day and also over the weekend, all the 85 guys in town, this is the 40th anniversary of their pennant winning season, one of the great Cardinals teams of all time. Just a really good feeling moment as the Cardinals beat the Giants. It was very nice at Busch Stadium, and there's one more game today.
Well, let's talk a little football. Let's start with college football. Obviously, yesterday, some good wins for Mizzou and Illinois. Illinois beating Duke. Mizzou over Kansas in that rivalry. What were your takeaways from those games?
Well, this is one of those weekends where I just could not be in, you know, several places at once, and I wish I could have been. I there's so many things going on this weekend that I can't be at all of them. And if there was nothing going on in St. Louis, I would have been at Faurot Field. I mean, that was just really a great scene there, and to see Mizzou beat Kansas 42-31 and coming back three different times to win it, I think one of my favorite takeaways from that is that St. Louis kids got it done. And at the top of the list for me, not just because he's coming on KMOX here this morning at 10:30, but I really like what Kevin Coleman did for this team yesterday. He had big catches for them. He did it over and over again. The St. Mary's product once again has a big game, and he's done this for a few schools now, but he transferred over to Mizzou for his final year of college football, and he put on a show yesterday. 10 catches for 126, had a 50-yard play that electrified the stadium, and really was a key play late in the game to get them in position. He is so much fun. 10 catches, 126, and a touchdown for Kevin Coleman. But Brett Norfleet is also from the St. Louis area. He went to Francis Howell. He's from O'Fallon, and he's the tight end. He had 2 touchdowns yesterday. And Bo Prabula, they have found their quarterback, and the Penn State transfer had a very good day. And the Tigers rallied. Now, Kansas has a decent team. They're not going to lose a lot of games, I don't think. I think they're going to have a decent year. So this could end up being a key win for Mizzou here if they have a good, successful SEC season. We'll look back at this one. But it's a great win overall to win a border rivalry and to win it 42-31 on a perfect day at Faurot Field. Again, I would have been, had I not been so wrapped up in so much stuff here, which I love, probably tailgating and enjoying a Mizzou win and then doing a post-game tailgate. I mean, that sounded like a lot of fun. And Illinois, they stomped Duke, and I watched some of that, and it didn't look very good early. They were in a tussle with Duke. That was a game that, you know, they had to have if they're going to make a run here for a playoff spot. And right now ESPN has them projected as in a college football playoff spot at number 11 out of 12. And I agree. They're ranked 11th in the country, and they looked every bit like it yesterday. They were up 14-13 at halftime, and then they just absolutely overwhelmed Duke in the second half, outscored them 31-6 in the second half and beat Duke 45-19. Duke just made all kinds of turnovers and problems. They lost 3 fumbles in the game yesterday, Duke did. They threw an interception. How many turnovers did Illinois have? 0. And that's how you win ball games. You win the turnover battle. You win the field position battle. You run the football effectively. And they did that. And even though they gave up 438 yards to Duke, they were able to beat them 45-19. That is a dominant victory for Brett Bielema. And now it sets up a fascinating week 4 because they're going to get Western Michigan at home, and you assume they're going to win that. Indiana will have Indiana State next week, and you assume they're going to win that. Illinois at Indiana September 12th is going to be a top 20 showdown, and I can't remember in my lifetime an Illinois-Indiana game being meaningful at all, let alone being a game that could determine one of the front runners for an at-large spot in the college football playoff.
Well, I know where you went to school. Are you going to be at that game?
I will not. I'll probably be here. It depends on the game time. I have looked at it. I've thought about it, but I'll probably be here in St. Louis. I will be back in Bloomington for homecoming, but it's going to be a great one. They still have not announced a game time for that on September 20th, but that place will be electric, and Illinois will bring it. That'll be a great game.
I'm going to take a stab and guess that I know where you'll be this afternoon. Worldwide Technology Raceway?
Yeah, so I will be sports on a Sunday morning today for a couple of hours. Then I am going to do Cardinals pregame today. Joe Pott is calling SIUE games, so I will be in the driver's seat for Cardinals pregame. We're going to do that from KMOX, just continue sports on a Sunday morning on for a third hour, let's say, for the Cardinals Network. But, yes, then I will hop in the car. I'm going to say bye to you guys at 1 o'clock, and I'm going to hustle over to the track because I want to be there for all of the pregame. Now, you folks can beat me there because I highly recommend that you get to the track, just avoid the traffic, and be able to really walk around and enjoy what is the pre-race festivities for this NASCAR Cup playoff race. It is really special. They have music, they have food, they have all the cars you can, you know, check everything out. And then the race is going to be intense. I mean, the Denny Hamlin, who's everybody's villain, is in the pole position for this one. Kyle Larson, who's one of the best drivers on the planet, is the number 2 spot. It's a NASCAR playoff race, but most importantly, it's a St. Louis event featuring some of the best drivers in the world, featuring NASCAR and eyes on it from all over the country. It's a really great day for us. You know, you got PGA Tour Champions going on up at Norwood. You have NASCAR happening here near downtown St. Louis over at Madison, Illinois. Really special. Last night they ran the Xfinity race. Connor Zilich won that. It gets everybody kind of ready for what is going to be an awesome, awesome day today at Worldwide Technology Raceway.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And can you briefly explain how the NASCAR playoff thing works?
Well, it's just to put it simply, it's a round of 16. Then they narrow it down to a round of 12. It depends on where they finish in this race. So what you're going to see today is a full field, but there will be drivers competing for playoff spots. So some have qualified for a playoff position, so they continue to, depending on where they finish, get down to the round of 12, etc. They're going to continue to move forward, and then they end up winning the cup from there. But that's kind of the easiest way to explain it. But yeah, it's fun. I mean, it really is fun to see the drivers who are in the playoff compete, and it will be super intense. I mean, if they, you know, these restarts will be aggressive. Every time they get back together and then have to see that green flag ahead, and you know they won't be liking each other today. I mean, this is not just like a regular season race where they're just, you know, cruising around the track and, you know, hey, if we didn't win it, it's a shame, but we'll get them next week. I mean, this is going to be, there's a lot of money on the line for the drivers who are still in this. And so, you know, we'll see what happens. Chase Briscoe is on the show today. Christopher Bell, Austin Cindric. They are all playoff drivers, and they are all capable of winning this race, I believe. Cindric won it last year, so he knows the track, kind of flat, kind of egg-shaped, a mile and a quarter. He knows it. Christopher Bell, I think, has been on the cusp of winning this for the last few years. And then Chase Briscoe is the hottest driver right now. He won last week. I think he's very confident that he can do it, and we'll hear from all three of those drivers coming up at the start of the show after we go through all the Cardinals and Mizzou talk and everything else, 10:15, those three drivers on KMOX.
Who else do you have lined up for sports on a Sunday morning?
Kevin Coleman at 10:30, the Mizzou wide receiver. Can't wait to talk to him. I really like him. I think you're going to enjoy hearing from him. He's a great conversation. And, again, he had a hell of a game last night or yesterday for Mizzou. That's awesome. He'll be with us at 10:30. 10:45, Alex Steen. We need to talk a little hockey around here. Hockey's about to start. And Alex Steen, who's going to eventually take over for Doug Armstrong, is going to be our guest at 10:45. At 11:05, we'll go through our NFL picks. We'll do that as we do every season. Everyone likes that. 11:15, Ron Kraszewski, the CEO of Stiefel, Dan Reardon, talked to him out at Norwood Hills Country Club. See, we're everywhere. We don't miss a thing. 11:30, John Mozeliak is back on the show. 11:45, Bernie Miklas on Sports on a Sunday morning.
Thanks as always, Tom. Talk to you soon.
All right, pal. We'll see you soon.
All right.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.